Luke 17. Whereas in verse 22, we're just about finished with it. He said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, or go after them, nor go not after them, nor follow them. Now, the whole issue here is about instructions to disciples to see something after the flesh, not follow it. You understand that? The days when everybody's going to want to see evidence of the Son of Man. You got? The days will come. And then people shall say to you, see here, or see there. But go not after them. And again, in the other, in Matthew and Luke's, Matthew and Mark's version of this, it says, go here or go there to see Christ. In other words, to see the anointing. Go not after them. That's the whole message of this. Amen? Everybody understand that? Don't follow what's called the anointing by other people.
That's as if to say Christ is not at hand or in you. But if you go over there, you'll find him. Over there, you'll find him. But you're not here.
But not go, not well, yeah, but the point of it is that's the whole point. There is no evidence that they don't believe, they don't know that Jesus Christ is in them. Right. And in saying, don't go over there, don't go there, or follow after him.
Right.
All right. And again, this is compelling because of what's called the two things that he hated in Revelation, the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I mean, those are the most powerful they're the most powerful things that can affect a disciple, because the doctrine of Nicolaitans is politics or power, and the doctrine of Balaam is politics or power. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is success. And so the temptation to go after power or to go after success, because Christ is there, is it's beyond evil. Are you here, Pete?
I'm trying to be here. I'm sorry. It's like an echo. Or emails threatening legal action. I'm trying to let it go. Just move on, please. I'm trying to let it go. I'm shaking. I mean, just this whole thing is just really, it's a never-ending nightmare.
All right. Now, in verse 22, it says, the first C, is it 22? Yeah. Days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. There's three different words for see here, and it's critical. The first C is eido, E-I-D-O, and it means to perceive or see with the senses. What you sensory, the sensory support, the brute beast. This is critical. The second C, where it says not see, let me get it straight in here. The days will come when you shall you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Now there the second word is shall not see, or the word for see is optonomai. Let me forget that one. Just put optonomai. But let's go to the next one, and then we'll try to make sense. And then in verse 23, and they shall say to you, see here or see there. That word is edu, and it means much more than just to see. It means come and see, invite to behold, or go after, or become a disciple. Now, so the whole mystery of God comes down. Maybe this is a way to explain it. And this is critical. It's what you hear with your ears of what you will see with your eyes. Because the hearing of the word is the most critical issue there is. And so if you, and it follows that order, like in the day of Pentecost, they heard a mighty rushing wind, but there was no wind. And they heard something. Then they saw, what did they see? Flames above each of them. So it starts off, wherever you are in the scriptures, if what you hear is what you see. Now, in the common man, normally, you're required the opposite. You see first, and then you try to hear it or understand it. And this is a big mystery in how we're made from as spiritual beings. What you hear becomes what you see. Here they're calling see here and see there. They're asking you to see first. And that's the vehicle of deception. That's why preaching of the word is so critical, because that's what you hear. And then you see, you may look at the same thing that you just looked at, but now you'll see differently because you heard. Is that making sense to anybody?
It sounds to me, or I'm getting a sense, that in between the ear and the eye is you hear, understand in a package, and your eyes are open, and you see, realize. Right. So it's like hearing with understanding is...
Then you see.
Yeah, that's great.
Right, you see things you've never seen before, but the same ones you've looked at.
Yes,
the same way with, you know, in the Haggadah, the remember this famous rabbi in there said, and he's been a rabbi and a famous one. He said, "This we heard something, and so this time it was as if the first time he heard or saw." Because the revelations of God come always by hearing first.
In the word, you had one definition, edu something.
Edu.
It's almost like educated or something.
Well, no, it's not.
It's not really, perhaps.
No.
But still, there's a hearing, maybe the spirit.
It's an invitation.
Yeah.
It's an invitation to come and see without hearing. Amen?
I don't know about that. An invitation to come.
That's what the edu means, to behold.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's a bad one.
Well, in this context it is.
In this context it's reversed. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that? And then the other words, and the whole thing there is, then don't pay any attention to it. Don't follow after them. But let's just go to Matthew 5.
So you said there were three words.
Yeah, there's Eido, E-I-D-O. There's Optomai, Optonomai, where we get optometry, the eyes. And then Edu, E-D-U. It's invite to see.
Invite to see?
Yeah.
All right, so the first one is the is
perceive with the eyes.
See and understand? Oh,
no.
That
two.
1 in 22
root beast.
Is the root beast.
1 in 22 is idol.
Okay.
I didn't make good notes on this, but anyway, that's why I'm gotten confused. But I mean, I'm not confused about the idea. Forget all the definitions and everything. The point is, you always hear first, and then you see.
So if you're saying seeing follows hearing, then this hearing fits right in with what voice are you listening to? If you're listening to the voice of God versus the voices, your own voice, there's this almost a simultaneous hearing and repentance are
right. You hear and the hearing causes you to see. You see what you're doing. But that's, well, anyway, let's go to Matthew 5.
It's like a cornerstone.
It doesn't matter whose voice it is. You have I'll just leave it that way. I don't want to go there anymore. Matthew 5. This is the of the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes, anyway, it's number 7. Blessed are the pure. Now, what is it? Remember what pure means there? Matthew 5, verse 8.
Is that the sanctified?
No, it really is the meaning of what we always talk about. The blessed out of the pure in heart means the innocence. It means what the fruit of abandonment. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they, and heart, remember, heart always, that has nothing to do with our heart. It means in the inner man. For they shall see God. Now, that's, this is a huge deal because the scriptures are clear. You cannot see God and live. That's why when Jacob was transformed into Israel, she who sees God, there was no more Jacob. But the command, it says in the Torah, many places, you cannot see God and live. And so people think they see and they come up with all these strange. But every time they think they see, it requires what's called soul power. And it requires, most of the times, the things that they think they see in the context are just kundalini meetings. You know, or there's soul power from group dynamics. All right. Let's go to Matthew 17.
You said you cannot see God if you are alive.
You can't see God and live. Seeing him
live
is your death.
Okay, so you see through
your. All right. Matthew 17. Everybody there?
No.
Matthew 17.
The first thing, it was part of the parcel of the Beatitudes, which are the entire gospel and the Beatitudes.
You know, you mentioned heart a minute ago. It's like we do feel things. Hearts.
I mean, do you think that from the standpoint of there's no possibility of you having or seeing or feeling something in your heart that didn't originate in your mind? And the reason for that is, I mean, the word came, you feel something in your heart because it affects what you're feeling is a perception in your mind that caused a change, a flutter in your heart. I mean, but the heart has no capacity to give you any kind of information, except if you're dead. Or
it's like, you didn't our hearts rejoice when he, the guys on the rope for the mast,
the inner man rejoiced. But the heart can't do any. The heart doesn't have any way of it doesn't have any. How can I say this? It has no possibility of generating neurons to give you or nerve paths to give you feelings. It all has to come from the mind, either conscious or subconscious.
It can't come from.
No, but I just want you to think that there's no nerve or mechanisms in your heart to cause you to do something, or be something, or feel something. Except you're having a heart attack, but that's still, it's your mind that causes it, or that feels it. It's just become a cliche almost. That's why it says, if you in the whole test of disciples, if you shall say with your mouth and believe that in your heart he is raised from the dead, well, he's not raised in your heart, he's raised in your inner man. You don't believe in your heart, you believe in your mind. Or in somebody's mind, but the heart doesn't have any capacity to believe. It should be believed that in your heart he was raised from the dead. In your inner man he was raised from the dead. All right. Matthew 17. This is the transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. What?
I didn't know where you were starting.
Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Forgive me, but we went to the wrong place. That's not even there. Matthew, let's try something else. Let me go look at it. Sorry, I didn't make any. I was listening to the rainstorms and I was taking notes this morning. Oh, I know. I'm sorry, it is right. It's in Matthew 17:3. It's behold. In other words, see. It was an invitation to see and behold. Okay.
How about in 6:28, leading up to 17? There it has another.
I don't know where you are.
16:28.
15.
16:28.
I don't know what that one is. I'll have to check. I don't know what that C is.
Yeah.
All right, but let's go to Matthew 26.
I bet that's just with their eyes. See,
Matthew 24, verse 30. All right, verse 29.
Which word for C? What verse was the word C in 17? Was that it shined before them? Was that the word C?
No, I'm going to have to let me check that and I'll report back.
All
okay.
Right. So now we're going to Matthew 24.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. We have to check this one also. Matthew 24, starting verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, again, that let me get back to you on those seven. I mean, on those seeing. Okay, and I'm sorry, I got confused here in my notes.
What do you think that is?
Huh?
Here they are. They're seeing the Son of Man coming. Sounds like a physical thing.
Well, they see, and then. It's like it's a simultaneous thing, and I'm just telling you what I don't believe about it. We'll rise up to meet him in the air, and everybody sees this, and then the end comes.
That's a pretty big time seeing, so it must be more than one.
All right, let's go back to Luke 17. I'm going to check. We're going to relook at the C words here. I apologize. But let's go to verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now, last night I was watching the lightning, and the only way you knew really probably because of the trees and stuff, but the only way I could tell where the lightning originated was when I heard the sound of it. Because it could have been from back here, it could have been over there, it could have been over here. But the point of it is that we've got a whole lot of words about lightning, a whole lot of scriptures about lightning that we're going to look at. And the idea that you will see the Son of Man in the same manner as lightning is kind of a fascinating. Lightning is a word, astrapa. It means lightning, or it means any sharp ray of light. But the idea that for as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven and unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. For some reason, this just fascinates me. The idea of his coming is compared to lightning. I want you to think about that. And I'm sorry I got screwed up on my notes, and I don't remember. I don't remember. So we'll study those different words for C later on. Okay, and we meet next. All right, I think it's Pete's fault.
perceive, it's like it comes so quick, it's the speed of light, and it's just rapid, instant. And I can see how Christ, you know, his coming is just, you're not going to stroll in, you know, wow.
No, it's,
right.
That's why it's so, but it's, let's go ahead. Well, that's not quite yet. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, the idea that the earth and the heavens shall be dissolved, but at the same time the Son of Man will appear as lightning, or as lightning does, from one end of the universe to the other, probably. I believe, this is what I sensed and what I saw in a way in my conversion experience, was the church rises up at the same time that all this other is happening. So it's not that we're going to sit around and see these things we'll see first, and then 3 days later we see something else. And these things are all happening simultaneously almost. So everything, the universe, will be dissolved. It's I've said it in my heart 1,000 times that, you know, for me, the seventh angel has stood, and for me, time is no longer. And that's the only kind of way I can understand what that means. But that means the seventh angel has stood and declared the mystery of the bride, or the mystery of God, is over. Time shall be no more. Now that, in less than the snap of a finger, and when you remove time, it's much more than the speed of light, it's the speed of thought. But think about it, time, space can't exist without time. And that's why it's hard to describe these things, because it's almost like everything's happening at once, but it's this judgment, if you will, must first begin in the house of God, in each temple.
It seems important that God allowed you to see that island dissolve when...
because that's the reason, only reason we're named Trinity.
Yeah.
But it was a... And that was... You know, we've talked about an atomic bomb, and this is a simplistic way of saying it, is that these two micro elements slam together, crush. But a hydrogen bomb is the only way I've heard it described is, it's as if you took just a slight piece of time out of it. And so that's why that dissolving of, and as if it never existed, is the whole point. It's not destroyed like in Nagasaki or Hiroshima. It was as if it never existed. And that's the way that island was, and even the ships that were. But that,
I was hearing this in a way that to me helps explain it, where in that moment, by God's choice, that which has been, that which is, and will be is all revealed at that time, or at that moment, whatever it's called, and it's all
Yeah, but it's it's for this purpose of antagonism, and so that this, as it says, that in each member of the bride, that we would be without spot, be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That means there's nothing about you that touches the world. Anyhow, take it, big guy.